Go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our panel discussion tonight. Teamwork makes the dream work. If you're watching this recording later, folks have been trickling in a little bit to our actual like live go of this. So we'll do some quick introductions at the start, but know that it just would feel weird to do it again. So there'll be a description posted with this video that says who the panel folks are. But before we get started with our content, I'll start by acknowledging that although we're gathered virtually in different places, we are, I think all of us, gathered in Mi'kma'ki, the traditional and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. And I hope you all know that this territory is covered by the Treaties of Peace and Friendship, which is a treaty that was about not a transfer of land, but what was a new and continues this ongoing relationship between settlers and Indigenous people in this place. And I think that there are many important things about that treaty, but I think it also is especially relevant to us today as we talk about collaboration and what it is to be in community with other people in the place where you find yourself. So I encourage you to look at that treaty and think about how aspects of that might be a model for not only how we live in this place as settlers or Indigenous people, but how we can carry various principles of that into different parts of our life and work and ministry and play and all of the things that we do and all the things that we are in this place. Okay, so I've welcomed you a little bit already. I'll do some quick introductions of our panel folks. And then we'll just give other folks an opportunity to introduce themselves if you'd like. Before we do that, I'll just do a quick rundown of this and then I can turn the slides off and then you can choose how you see everybody. So we'll have an introduction to collaboration, talk about what that means, why it's important. And then we have a few folks who are going to share some stories of churches doing collaboration with community partners where they are. And then there'll be some time for any questions that you maybe have brought with you or that come up for you through the things that we talk about. And then we will close in a prayer. And I will say we'll stop recording after the stories of collaboration, and then I'll record the closing prayer. So that question time won't be included in the things that are posted elsewhere. So the folks that we have on our panel tonight are Jillian. Oh, Jillian, I'm reading it from a thing where I didn't write your last name. Jillian Doucette Campbell. So Jillian used to work at the cathedral, so that's where most of you folks know her from. And now she finds herself at the YWCA in Halifax, as the director of fund development and communication, doing lots of cool things with that. Heather Matthews, who isn't on my screen now, but if you scroll around, you'll find her, is also one of our folks for tonight. And she is the executive director of the Cumberland Adult Network for Upgrading, which is here in Amherst, where I am. And we also have Donnelly Greer, the Reverend Donnelly Greer, who is the priest in Bridgetown and New Ross and is in neither of those places right now. But is here to share some stories with us. Oh, and I'm Allie Culp. I didn't say that at the start. I am the Youth and Family Ministry Coordinator for the Diocese of Nova Scotia and PEI, which means a lot of things, but the most important thing that it means today is that I get to have fun conversations like this with folks like you. So if you are here with us and would like to tell us who you are, you can unmute your mic and tell us that. And I'll also, if I'm as organized as I think I am, have a poll where you can tell us what brought you here. So you can say out loud who you are, who you are, and then you can like do a little typing of what brought you here.
I'm Gail Page. Well, I start things.
Great. Hi, Gail.
Hi. I know a couple of people here from Mothers Union. I'm a member of the Mothers Union at St. James Armdale, and also sitting on the Canadian Council as the secretary. We're finishing up our term this year. Our church, St. James Armdale, has a MELT group, they call it, Mission Leadership Engagement Team. And there's been some partnering that's been going on. So anyway, I'm really interested in terms of what our branch might be able to do. So that's why I'm here.
Great, thanks, Gail. And just a special shout out to Reverend Katie Taylor Flynn, who promises me that she's going to watch or listen to this later. She's the priest at St. James Armdale. It's great to
That's
have
where
you.
I found out about it through
Yeah, cool. I just was going to say, hi, my name is Reverend Tammy Hodge Orvec, and I'm the minister at St. Mark's in the north end of Halifax. I'm also a part-time dental hygienist. And I'm just here to check it out. We do a lot of community partnering at St. Mark's. We have a long history of doing that. We have a North End daycare, and Ward 5, both our community outreach and care for children and seniors in the North End. And they've been able to do that ministry for 50 years because we let them use the hall at next to no cost. Anyway, we're at a time of transition where we sold our property, and we're going to be looking at partnering in a lot of new ways with our community as we get the church renovated and want to do collaborative partnerships so that we become a community hub. So I thought this might be a place to come and explore. Thanks. Great, thanks, Tammy.
Well, I'm Maxine Simkin at St. John the Evangelist in Middle Sackville, and I work with the children there in Godly Play, as well as with the Godly Play Maritime Circle. So I'm really interested in youth and family and what we can do in the community.
Great, thanks, Maxine. Good to have you here. In 5 seconds, I'll share the things that people typed. So if you're typing away, get it in quick.
I just ended up by putting myself off screen, but I think I'm back on now. I'm not sure. Anyway, collaboration is a big piece of how I've always sort of functioned professionally anyway, and actually was probably the core piece of a thesis that I did, a master's one, in terms of having success. In any endeavors, really, you need to be doing working together, and you need to reach out to a lot of partners. So, with Anglicans Power and Potential, which is the rebranded Anglican Church Women Diocesan Board, collaboration is a key aspect of how we're going to function. And certainly, one of our partners when we were the Anglican Church Women Diocesan Board was Mother Union, diocesan level. And we certainly anticipate that continuing. And when I look at the vision statement and mission statements of Mother's Union, it's very aligned with what Anglicans Power and Potential is all about. And we're certainly interested in involvement with youth because we're going to be doing the Say Yes to Kids campaign. And the Anglicans Power and Potential are going to be trying to bring in money for the Youth and Family Ministry Community Roots Day Camp. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you for being here. And I think we will start to dig in to some collaboration stuff with Jillian.
Thanks, Allie. So, I'm gonna mostly talk broadly. So, and a couple of my words will mention youth and families, but I think no matter what type of collaboration you're doing, there's some sort of foundational principles that we need to follow so that we make sure that our collaborations are successful. So broadly speaking, collaboration is important for churches because it's one of sort of the three pillars of why we church or why the church exists, which is of course spiritual formation, developing a community or creating a community of belonging, and then outreach. So there are many benefits to collaboration, like being visible in the community, partnering with experts or those who are already doing something, or meeting new people, providing volunteer opportunities for church folks as a way for them to live out their faith beyond the church walls, learning more about the needs of your community, or just having a way for your youth and families to meet other youth and families. So those are all really good reasons for why collaboration is important. But before you begin to collaborate with other charities or churches or community programs, or even before you begin to look for partners, there are a few things a church community should really do first. And this, again, will set you up for success. So the first few things that are important, it's going to create that foundation, that stabilizing feature. So one is to know why you want to collaborate with others. What is driving this desire? And no answer is wrong here, but it's important to be honest. So is it because you want to grow your church? So you're looking for ways for people to get to know you or to feel invited to your church? Or are you motivated because you want to get to know the community outside of your church, to have a better understanding of your community around you maybe? Are you needing grants? And you notice that the partnerships are often required or need to be demonstrated so that you can gain that funding. So make sure you dig into the whys and are clear about them. And in line with this, you should also know what your expectations are from the community partner. So things such as even, and it might seem small, but these things are important. Will you expect monthly or quarterly reports from the organization? Will you expect that their leader or executive director or a program manager will provide an in-person update at a church service once a year? Do you want to be formally recognized through their social media or print materials, or not be recognized? So it's important to know what your expectations are so you can share them with whomever you end up partnering with. And I share this because I've seen churches, for instance, stop giving funding to organizations because the executive director didn't show enough gratitude for a financial gift provided, or because the organization published the name of the church in their annual report without the church's permission. So know what your expectations are around reporting and thanking and staff time, and share that with the organization. And I don't say that those reasons that they stop doing those things are petty. I mean, when you hear them, you're like, they did what? but it's because there were unspoken things, right? So clear is kind. I'm probably going to say that again in this, but being clear about your expectations both ways is a great way to collaborate. And this is not to say that sometimes collaborations aren't a good fit. Being a good partner sometimes means recognizing when you're not a good fit, and then you can dissolve that collaboration. But it's important to be upfront as possible so that you can respect each other's time and your mandates that you have. You also want to know who your church community is. So you want to get to know your own folks in the building. Often churches make assumptions about who attends their church, but I would encourage you to survey your church community and learn what they like doing. What are they already volunteering at? What are their passions and interests? Are they even available to help with collaborating? And what are their passions and interests? Because So one of the examples I like to share is, I know of another church that was like, we need more youth and young families. So the church leadership was like, yeah, we do. And so they went to a school that was just down the road for them, an elementary school, and said, once a week, we're going to run an after school program. We're going to have snacks. We're going to have games. We can do homework help. Isn't this exciting? And the school was like, yeah, that's amazing. We'll help publicize that. That's a great idea. Then they went back to the church and said, look at this great thing we're doing. Please sign up. And nobody signed up. So you want to make sure that you know who your church community is before you start thinking and dreaming. Which also leads me to make sure you have the capacity to commit to a collaboration. So while some folks in the church may want to develop partnerships with another church or charity as a way to bring in new people or to get outside of the church community, we need to be realistic about how much time we can give, or if we need to invest finances in that, or how much energy needs to be put into this. So know what you can commit to realistically before you commit, or worse, overcommit. You also want to create a list of traits or things that are important to your church when looking for collaborators. Know what type of organizational structure or work culture that you see as a good fit with. Some Anglican churches run differently than other Anglican churches. So maybe understand that if you're going to work together on messy church, let's say. So make sure you're aware of those different nuances. Maybe you might think you understand each other well, but it's always clear as kind. It's good to talk it out and maybe even write it out. Also discern what type of group you would prefer to work with. So is it another church? Or do you want to work with a rec center who's already doing some after-school programming maybe, or the food bank? Or maybe you already know what you don't want to do. So maybe you don't want to be making meals or supporting the local men's shelter. If you're having trouble deciding how or with whom the church wants to collaborate with, take time to dig into who your local community is. So what are the trends in the area? What are the demographics? What are the needs? What might there be too much of, or an oversaturation of? Maybe host a town hall with some key leaders to find this information out, or maybe do a prayer walk and note what you see in your neighborhood over a few months. So you could also meet with school administrators, nurses, real estate agents, city councilors or mayors, police officers, small business owners, or other local charity groups like Heather. I'm sure she would have some thoughts and ideas. So these folks all have valuable information to share with you about the community. And also throughout this process, take time for discernment to hear from God. Slow down. I know some of us are in a panic and feel pressure to get going, especially around youth and children. But as actor and director Denzel Washington said, just because you're doing a lot doesn't mean you're getting a lot done. Don't confuse movement with progress. But setting aside time for even fasting, taking time to pray clearly and intentionally with a group, as a congregation, or individually, that is doing something. In fact, it's doing the right thing first. So pray for God's leading and pray for your church community and your local neighborhood. Again, I really want to encourage prayer walks. So once you have some of this foundational work done, you can begin to look for groups or churches or programs or charities you may want to collaborate with. You might be looking for a particular type of cause, like partnering with a food bank, or you may be looking for a way to be involved with children and young families specifically, such as volunteering with another church to host Vacation Bible School. So figure out what cause you want to support or how you want to support a particular type of organization. Is it giving of your time each week at a specific location, but a different role each week? Or is it having some church members maybe make some food at home and then providing that food for others to serve at a monthly dinner, like for international university students? You can also keep collaboration simple. Relationships with nonprofits can take the form of helping to recruit board members or volunteers to do various different jobs, donating money or in-kind goods for the organization's specific wish list. So allowing the use of your community space is also really great. We're always at the YW looking for space for different program activities. You could also provide technical assistance and training from an area that you're really good at in your church. Gail, I know at your church, St. James, you have two people who are super great at technology and video recording. So you've got some great skill sets there that you might be able to share with other people. So there are so many ways to be collaborators and so many different needs that organizations have. You can also start small and grow from there. So it can sometimes be a good idea to get to know one another in smaller ways first before taking on the bigger opportunities. Kind of starting to set the stage maybe. So when setting up the collaboration with the other groups, some guiding principles should be created together. For instance, depending on the church's involvement with a charity or particular program, there should be an equal division of authority over the particular project to reduce maybe some power imbalances. Make sure to establish key points in the project where there will be opportunities to review the progress and adjust as needed. And for sure, there must be agreed upon way to resolve potential conflicts. And again, set clear expectations about commitments and what needs doing. Be that financial commitments, don't be afraid to talk about money, your reporting preferences and communication styles, and of course, the level of availability of people. If you expect it, communicate it. And don't forget to write down these guiding principles. Again, clear is kind. I love Brené Brown for that. And then once things are moving along, be the good partner that you said you were going to be. Do what you said. Reciprocity is vital too. Each organization should be prepared to give as much as they want to get out of the partnership. So if things are not going well, talk about it constructively with the other organization. Don't wait. Problems become bigger or feel bigger the longer you sit on them. And go to the source rather than talking about the issue with everyone else. That often just creates negativity that can lead to maybe us versus them attitudes. And sometimes we just end up creating a mountain out of a molehill. So, and as someone who works for a charity, I also want to say, be patient. Many, if not all, charities and nonprofits are struggling. We have been asked to do more with less funding. So if you don't hear back from us as quickly as you'd like, please don't assume we're ignoring you or ghosting you. We're just really busy people. And so we probably really need you, but we just have to come up for air to recognize that. And for a few other thoughts as a person who works in a charity is, if you're wanting to do something for an organization, let them know. I know that surprises can be great, but there are many reasons why we need to know what you're planning for us. For instance, and this is a true story, a group hosted a very successful food drive for one of our programs at the YW. And then they came to drop off all of the canned goods and boxes. But we had no storage space for all of these goods. So we were so grateful, but we were super embarrassed and a little bit frustrated that that had happened. So it felt really awkward for everybody. And I don't think that was the effect either of us intended. And another example I will share from many examples I have is a church who thought, and this isn't locally, so don't worry, I'm not telling stories out of school, but this church thought, hey, we should raise some money for this local charity. They are doing such good work and we just want to bless them. So they secretly raised several thousand dollars for this charity, not telling them what they were up to. And when they called the charity to tell them what they did, the charity was actually kind of mad. you see, they had just written a grant and actually several grants, and they'd worked on the budget. And it turned out now they would no longer be eligible for the grant because they'd have to rework into it the funding they just received. So despite the gift from the church being only half the amount that the grant would have been. So had the church connected with the charity, they could have worked on a fundraising timeline together or set a different giving target, or even have designated it to a different program. So I do want to encourage collaboration. I do want to say go forth and be a blessing to charities and groups, and that it's exciting, but also always be clear. set out the foundation work first and work together at the hard stuff at the beginning rather than when you're in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I would say about collaboration.
Thank you so much for that, Jillian. That was a really, really helpful look at like where to start and how to move forward on these things. Maybe when we hear some stories about these works, it'll be interesting to see where those things that you talk about pop up or if some of them don't. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, that was really, really helpful. So thank you for that. So next, we're going to hear a couple stories about churches that are doing some work in collaboration with community partners. Don Lee, you'll be up first. And then I'll talk about Sewing Club. And Heather, you can bring us home with Community Suppers. All right. Don Lee does a very cool youth group that has a lot to show us about partnership and collaboration. So over to you, Don Lee.
Thanks, Allie. Well, as you know, I'm Reverend Don Lee Greer, and I'm the priest in charge of the parish of New Ross and the rector of the parish of Bridgetown. 2 years ago, June, I was appointed to Bridgetown. And being June, I knew I wasn't going to be able to get much going because, you know, there's a month left to school, but I wanted to get my foot in the door. So I went over to the local school, introduced myself, and started making some appearances. And I met with the administrative staff. In the fall, I returned, but I had to go on medical leave, as many people know. And then when I returned in the late winter, early spring, I reinitiated meeting with the school and then with Schools Plus, which has an office right in the school. And who better to connect with but the people who are actually connected with the youth already. I've had previous youth groups before, but I also had children who were in that age bracket. And I didn't have that that ability to do that this time because all of my children are adults. So I knew I needed to go to the source and find somebody who was on the ground. After some meetings and planning, myself, Schools Plus, and another community group, Family Matters, partnered in a stimulating the youth group, which is now called the Evolve Youth Group. It's branded. It's fantastic. And we started meeting weekly at the church in the hall in Bridgetown. And this youth group was clearly shared to be LGBTQA2S plus and allies. We made it very clear that if you're coming, that you needed to be an ally and that we were not going to be able to have confrontation otherwise. It wasn't the space, it was a safe space. And we started with a solid core group of about 8 to 12 people, sometimes seeing 15 or so youth, and we now have a core of 15 plus people. And over the last year, we have seen the youth grow in relationships, in their self-esteem, leadership, and their ability to interact with posture is phenomenal now. And just by offering them space and love, nothing special, but something special. We offer a welcoming, non-judgmental space. And we also have group norms, and so they know what the expectations are, and when they get broken, we address them. We talk about highs and lows as a form of love and caring for each other, and we are there to support them. We also break bread together. We have people bringing soup from the church now. Some of the different people, congregants, are bringing soup to get more involved in the group, and the group loves soup. Snacks, drinks, dessert, a lot can happen over a meal. We also are right now helping them fundraise and support them in their endeavors. Some of them are going to advance leadership in May, and we're helping support them do that, not just primarily with our funds, but with helping them and supporting them finding funds in the community. And at first we started it to be leader-led, meaning us, the leaders being the adults. And we turned it over to the youth. We had a vote, we had a We had they called it democracy. And now the youth have, the youth group is run by the youth, and we are there just to support them. So after a few months, we thought that that was the best way for it to go forward so that it could support itself in the future. And we've had, I have to be honest, it's been great and wonderful. It keeps me going the run of the week, but we've also had our hurdles, especially it being at a church. There's been some partners who have been approached that receive funding from different groups, and they're like, you're doing this at a church. And they're like, yes, we are. There's been some criticisms that we've overcome, and we've removed some boundaries, and we've come a long way in a year as a group. But there's still some stigma that it is at the church, and there's a priest that's a part of the group. And that is a hurdle that we continue to battle together, and to continue to stand and show that we are all doing this out of love, and that we are supporting one another, and that we are a safe space regardless.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that work that you're doing and telling us about it, Daphne.
Thanks. And in our parish of New Ross, we're collaborating with the Roman Catholic Church and the Baptist Church to do some Friday night fire camp style circles in the community this summer. We're going to try every other Friday night at just close to the fairgrounds, and we're in the works with working with that. But that is up and going, but that is something that we're trying to do there.
Exciting. There's this like funny little account that I follow on TikTok called like Leroy and Leroy or something, and they just like, they're in Saskatchewan, and there's all, they like see very regular things and make it interesting in some way, and at the end they always say there's always something to do. And it really feels like there is always something, like there's always
something to do, yeah.
Always something to, yeah, do, yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I'll tell you all about a sewing club that we do in Amherst. The kind of origin of that is that some of you, I think Cynthia mentioned Say Yes to Kids in her introduction at the start. So some of you might be familiar with that. And if you aren't, you can hear more about it at a follow-up conversation next week called Funding the Dream, where we'll talk about some different grant opportunities and ways to find money to make things happen. I didn't plan to make that plug just then, but you got to take the moment when it comes. So Say Yes to Kids is an annual campaign that the Anglican Foundation of Canada does to support communities in raising money for programs to support children and youth. So in Amherst, I'm involved with the Sunday school and the youth programs that happen here. And I'm also on the board for the local Family Resource Center. And this opportunity came along, and there really wasn't anything that we wanted to or had the capacity to expand into doing for children or youth in the church. So we thought, how else can we take advantage of this opportunity to raise some money? So we reached out to the Family Resource Center and a few other community partners to say, like, we can access supports in raising these funds, and we want to do it in a good way. So what's happening here that we could support? And the Family Resource Center was getting things moving to open a youth center in town. It's called the Cumberland County Youth Development Center. So there were a couple of different things related to that they thought this, you know, there'd be cool things to raise funds for. And one of the things in particular that we talked about being really beneficial was having different volunteers from the community come into the center and run programs for young people. In particular, running programs where they could share gifts and skills that they have with young people. And I really love to sew, and some other folks at the church also love to sew. So we thought that would be a cool thing. And like mending clothes is kind of a trendy thing to do now. And there's a little bit of a resurgence of sewing. So we thought, like, we'll just give it a try And if it doesn't work, we'll try something else. So we have this fun little club that meets every other week. There are a few kids who come who are connected to the church, but most of the people who come are connected through the youth center. And we started by making tote bags and pajama pants. And now everyone's kind of like on choose your own adventure sewing. So we've got someone who's like making a duffel bag. Someone's making a cushion that looks like a house. We're gonna sew fidget toys at our next gathering, which I think will be really cool. And it's just like a really lovely, fun thing that we do. And a thing that we talked a lot about with volunteers as we did training to prepare to run the sewing club was that sewing is really great, and it's really great to share a skill. But the thing that we're really doing is showing up to love young people. That's the core. And it's really great to do that in a way that's fun and life-giving for us and young people together. There's no one who's there who's just like putting in their time, doing a thing because they know it's important. Like, the young people are excited to sew, and the people who are there to help are excited to get to share that skill with other people. And it's a really magical little thing to be part of. And it was so simple to make it happen. And part of the reason it was so simple was those existing relationships that we already had. But I think even if we hadn't had them, by doing that reach out and like connecting with partners that we knew we had commonalities with, you know, it would have been a few more steps on the way, but I think we still could have gotten to a good place. But it's really exciting to be doing this where we are now. And there have been lots of conversations about, oh, what other things could we do? Like, maybe we could do a workshop on church lady sandwiches or baking cookies. So I'm not sure what else might happen next, but there's always something to do. And this is where we find ourselves right now. So that is one of the things that's happening here. But it's not the only thing that's happening in Amherst. Heather, would you like to tell us some more about cool collaborations that are happening?
I sure would.
Thanks.
I'm Heather Matthews. I'm the ED at the Cumberland Adult Network for Upgrading, which is, we work with folks 18 and above and work with them to help them get their GED, do digital skills, employability skills, life skills, things like that. So I guess really, I am going to talk about our community supper that we have happening once a month here in Amherst. It happens at the Christchurch Hall. That's the name of the hall, right, Allie?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And so Allie, Will, and I, and also a couple of Karen from the Family Resource Center were talking and said, you know, it would be really great to start a community supper where we could feed people and everyone could come together and play games and, you know, kind of hang out and chat and form a little community. And so we started back in January of 2020, our first community supper. We did it for 3 months in a row, and then COVID shut us down. So we started up again about, what was it, in September of 2022, I think? September, October, somewhere along there, we started up again. We, like I said, it happens once a month. It's a partnership between the three organizations. And we started having on average 60 people come to the community supper, which has grown and grown and grown. And now we serve anywhere from 160 to 200 people. And of course, with the price of food and the COVID just being everybody not being able to be around each other for so long, that sense that the need to feed people and the sense of community has just heightened. So I think each month we add more things to this community supper. And so we have people helping from the church. We have people helping from the Family Resource Center. We have had the high school reach out to us because there's class at the high school that need volunteer hours. We have had the youth center bring their some of their youth over to volunteer. We just recently, this week, have had the local library come on board, and they're going to have somebody with us each week helping out. We also, so like I said at the beginning, the CANU, that's short for the Cumberland Adult Network for Upgrading, we work with students trying to gain some skills to get them to work, basically, you know, their GED or some employability skills or digital skills. So we thought, what a great idea to create this program that's called Feed Our Community, where the students take all of their skills that they're learning and they come up with a meal that is connected to the meal that we're having at the community supper. So for instance, this month we're doing pulled pork at the community supper. So we have created take-home kits each month, 40 take-home kits that people that come to the community supper that can then get to take one of these kits home with them. So this week or this month we're doing pulled pork, like I said, and the take home meal will be pulled pork on nachos. So in that kit, there's a complete everything that they need, recipe, ingredients, everything to take home and make at home. So it's like I said, we keep adding on each month more and more things that this community supper is doing. Also, Amherst had a French Toast Fest happen, a week-long event where communities, kind of like the Burger Fest in the Halifax, but here it was French Toast. And so the town reached out to us and asked if we could serve, or if our community supper could take part in that, so that last month was French Toast, which the town donated some money towards, or some bread and eggs from our local companies here in Amherst. So it's really like starting to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's turned into, it's just really a beautiful a meal that people come to. There are people from all over the community. There's some people that come because they want to sit and chat with people and have someone to talk to. I had a single mom say, we don't have family here in Amherst, so we come here because it's, you know, we want our children to be able to eat together with, you know, with other adults and other children. We have people that come because they're hungry and they need food. And, you know, we have other people that come because they want to volunteer and help out. So kind of all of those, all of the idea of coming together and having this meal and it really truly being community really has happened. And like I said, it continues to grow. And it's really just, it's really beautiful. So if you're ever in Amherst on the night of our community dinner, you should come and join us. And all of it, I should say, all of it is free. We've even, so Allie and Will wrote a grant. I think it was Allie wrote a grant. First, we were like, the first community supper was like, we're just going to have spaghetti because it's cheap and we can get enough noodles and sauce to make spaghetti and feed people. But then Allie wrote a grant, got a little bit of money. Our money was starting to get really low. We do put a donation pot out, but it's not mandatory. And the donations have helped kind of keep it going. But we were getting low. So Will reached out to the funeral home here in Amherst. So they gave us some funding for a month. And then just more recently, Maggie's Place, our local family resource center, got a grant for food security. So they've been able to help out with funding that, paying for the food. So it's just kind of, I think when you're doing good, good comes to you. And that's, I really think what's happening with our community supper. It just keeps on growing and keeps on going, and the money keeps coming somehow. So that's the community supper.
Thank you so much, Heather, for telling us about that.
You're welcome.
It is really fun to get to work with Heather on that. But even when I don't help, it is really fun to come. So on Friday, April 19th, if you're anywhere near Amherst, pop on by. It's really fun.
I should just add in too that, you know, I made it sound all lovely, but there is a lot of planning and organizing. And sometimes, like Jillian said, there is some frustrations that come along with that. But I think that Allie and Will and I and the folks from Maggie's Place have such a great relationship where you can just, if you've got something on your mind, you can say it. Nobody's offended by it. We let each other vent, and then we figure out how we're going to fix the problem. So really the key to collaboration is communication, and more communication.
That's a great wrap up for that, Heather. That's really good. Thank you. Thank you, Heather and Don Lee, for sharing those stories with us. I hope that all three of those stories, there's like lots of commonalities between them, but some differences too. So I hope that those helped you think about, you know, what different things might be possible or how things might look in your particular community. I will say, just for me personally, that doing work in collaboration with others, you know, in Amherst, just like as a volunteer in my home parish, but also in my work, like Community Roots is all about collaboration. And so much of my work in my life has just been so, so deeply and richly blessed by all of these connections. Like when we were expecting our second child, we know Heather because we do collaborations with her. And like, we don't have family here. So my husband and I said, like, hey, Heather, we just need people. And we know that you are good people. Can you be one of our people? So like, kind of the, like Heather said, when you do good things come to you or whatever. Like when you do good things, they just kind of multiply. And the impacts on your ministry, on your life, and on the way that you see your community can be so much more than you could ever imagine them to be. I didn't even mean to, and I was like this close to saying the doxology there. Like it can be even more than you can ask or imagine. Heather, that's a prayer that we end almost every service with. It's glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine.
I like that.
Yeah. It is a good one. So yeah, I hope these things have inspired you, encouraged you. So that brings us just about to the end of the the planned content. But now we have some time for questions. So people who are watching this later or listening to the podcast, you can send your questions to me, and my contact information will be wherever you found this link. But I'll stop the recording here and we'll pick you up in a closing prayer in just a second. Holy and generous God, thank you for all of the ways that you are with us and in our communities. Thank you for modeling how to be in community. God, the Father, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, and God, the Holy Spirit, inspiring and moving in us. You are community in and of yourself, collaborating as God and with us in the world. Thank you for inviting us to be part of that. Thank you for this time that we've had together. Be with all the folks who are here and all the folks who are doing good and important work to meet the needs of people in your world. Amen.